Welcome to another episode of DRH Ministries Living in Victory podcast. Our prayer is that as you listen and receive the word of God, that your life is changed and that you're positioned to live life in victory. Let's join Pastor Dennis Hebert for today's message already in progress.
In your Bible, Genesis chapter number 24. Verse number 60, and the Bible says, "And they blessed Rebekah, and they said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate you." It says, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands. And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." I want to just share this in a few moments that we have tonight. The 212 principle. The blessing of Rebekah. The 212 principle. The blessing of Rebekah. Everybody say that with me. The 212 principle. The blessing of Rebekah. And I'm going to just share with you tonight what the Lord has given to me, and I'll share more on Sunday for those of you that's going to make sure your feet is in the house of the Lord on the very first day of the year. But the Lord gave me this, the 212 principle. Of course, it is, my brothers and sisters, without fail, that every year individuals gather at the conclusion of the year to reflect, to reassess, and to refocus their lives. Of course, it's a noble practice that has the potential to yield and grant great rewards. Some people, even in here today, are measuring how productive their year has been by the goals that they have been able to obtain. Even now, companies, as we are closing out this year, have times that they have set aside for their year-end review to see how well they measured up with the expectations that they set out from the year at the beginning. Even spiritually, it is very important that we reflect, that we reassess, and that we refocus our lives to keep our lives moving forward. Consistent reflection is a worthy principle because it gives us the facts so that we can call the devil a lie. Because there were some things the devil told you that was not going to happen, that did happen. There's some lies that the devil wants you to believe, but when you have time to reflect, you gain the facts to let the devil know that he's a lie. Won't you just say it tonight, devil, you're a lie. But because as we reflect on 2011, we all can say, despite what this year has brought our way, in terms of not so pleasant surprises, to unexpected life events, to the loss that many of us in this room may have experienced this year, to personal disappointments and setbacks, and even failures, despite all of the things that if we had control over, we would have prevented in our lives. Despite all of that, all of us in this room tonight can say that God's been faithful. Yeah, yes, he has. If there's no other adjective in your personal lexicon that you can use to describe God's role in your life, let me tell you, faithful is all-encompassing. The fact that people are not talking about you tonight in past tense mean that God was faithful. Some of y'all gonna get that on the way home. Yeah? The fact that they not saying that she was a wonderful person and he was a good guy. The fact that you're still here and they can talk about you in the present tense let me know that God has been faithful to you. Now think about this. This year, even though many of us have lost focus at times, some of us have went days and weeks and months without talking to God. Some of us who have strayed away from God's perfect plan and embraced our own plan as if we are the controllers of our own lives. Despite all of that, God still remained faithful to you. Yes, he has. So tonight, even if you can't thank him for a stable job, even if you can't thank him tonight for a steady job or a stable spouse or consistent relationships, you still have a reason to give him praise because you have a faithful God. You have a God that will honor his word. You have a God that said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We have a God that does not change. And tonight, that is worthy enough to give him praise. Touch your neighbor and say, I got a reason to give him praise. Yes, you do. Because if your neighbor would have saw you back in June with all the stuff you had to carry, they'll be shouting for you tonight. Oh, but God didn't let nobody else shout for you tonight. He wants you to give him a praise because of what he has done for you personally. Some of y'all ain't gonna get the revelation because he'll say, I'll make the rocks cry out for me. I don't need you to praise me. But when you think about all that he has done, praise is what should come out of your mouth. I don't know about y'all. I'm gonna give the rocks the night off. I'm gonna say, God, I'll thank you for everything that you have done in my life, because if Satan would have had his way, I would have been dead. I would have lost my mind. I would have been walking around not knowing and who I am. Look at your neighbor and say, but God. Amen. God had to look past all my faults, and he still blessed me with everything I need. Somebody ought to say, he's faithful. He's faithful. Yes, he is. He's faithful. He's faithful. And as we reflecting, which is a noble principle, on the faithfulness of God, as we come to the end of the year, it never ceases to amaze me how misguided some of us are in our expectations. How our expectations can be concerning the quality of life we experience. So many people repeat a cycle of apathy. They repeat a cycle of negativity because they have misguided notions concerning the blessing of God. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, the quality of life that you experienced this year in 2011 can be directly traced to the choices you made. We want to put everything on the devil. We want to say that devil, you want to put it on your haters. No, some stuff ain't the devil and some stuff not your haters. Sometimes you made a bad choice. Sometimes you missed the mark. Sometimes you did stuff you shouldn't have did and said stuff you shouldn't have said. And when you look around, you say, you know what? You're giving the devil too much credit for what's going on in your life. It was me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. See, it's a noble principle to understand that we make decisions in life, and then our decisions turn around and make us. That we make choices in life, and then the choices that we make turn around and make who we are. There are individuals in this room, you have made some choices in your life, and those choices may have delayed what God wanted to do in your life. And that's what I love about the justification principle in our faith called Christianity, is that when you make some bad choices, God is so just that when you just fess up to it and say, God, I did wrong, I missed the mark, the Bible says he'll wash them white as snow. Oh, I thank God for justification every day, because justification is God canceling the consequences of your bad decisions. Oh, don't look at me like you ain't made no bad decisions in 2011. Yeah, you made some bad decisions, but because God is so just when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he says, I'll wash away the consequences of your bad decisions. Y'all looking at me like that. You remember that time when you smoked something you shouldn't have smoked and you couldn't get up the next morning and go to work and you say, Lord, right now I need you to cover me because you know how bad I need this job. You know how bad. I need these relationships. And what did God do? He stepped in and canceled the consequences of your bad decisions. I'm going to stay right there for a moment, because some of y'all looking like you have a right to be in here tonight. No, some of you should be in a hospital. Some of you should be locked up in Paris prison. Some of you should be HIV positive. But God had to look past some stuff and bless you. I ain't talking about in 96. I'm talking about in 2011, and you got the audacity to come up here and sit in a church like you all that and a bag of chips. Elbow your neighbor and say, that's why I'm shouting today. I ain't shouting for what I did get. I'm shouting for what he didn't let me get. I'm trying to look for the real folks, because I ain't got no time for fake ones tonight. I'm trying to look for some folks that say, if it wasn't for God leading my life, where would I be? See, we have misguided understanding and misguided notions about those individuals who are successful in life. See, what happens is we believe that people who are prosperous, people who win in life, we think that they have some type of good luck. We think that they have some type of advantage. But those that win in life make a choice to overcome. Not because they have good luck, but they have to win despite their luck. That they have to make a choice to overcome despite setbacks, despite committing mistakes, despite some handicaps and hardships. They still hold on to the promise of God and say, God, I still believe that your word is true. They make the effort to take responsibility for their life. Hallelujah. And God says, this year, you got to make the effort to start taking responsibility for your life. That's what he said. He says, nobody is accepting those sad excuses this year of why you can't succeed. Because God has already said, if you give the extra effort, I'm going to make sure that you do better. So this year, don't try to blame it on the white man. Don't try to blame it on the economy. Don't blame it on your lack of education. Don't blame it that I ain't have no father in my life. Because the word I read says, when your mother and your father are not there, God will step in and take up the slack. Touch your neighbor and say, no more excuses this year. This is your year to do better. One of the greatest breakthroughs and personal revelations that I experienced in my personal walk with God is when I had the revelation to understand that God's will is not executed automatically in our lives. God can will for you to be blessed. God can will for your family to be blessed, for your business to be blessed, but it's not done automatically. See, God's will only comes to pass with our permission and our participation. That's why Tasha was ministering just a moment ago. She's just asking you to give God a yes, because God needs your permission to bless you in your own life. I know, and nobody ever told you that before, but God don't bless nobody that don't want to be blessed. God don't open doors for anybody that don't want the door to be open. He needs your permission, and all of us tonight should have a yes in your spirit. Let me just do a house check. Who am I preaching to tonight? You say, Pastor, I got a yes in my spirit for the Lord. Because he needs your permission, but then also he needs your participation. If it's going to happen, you're going to have to get involved in it. If it's going to happen, you can't wait for somebody else to knock on your door and bring your breakthrough to you. You got to be man or woman enough to gird yourself up and say, I'm about to do this thing for Jesus, because he promised me some things would come to pass. See, God, my brothers and sisters, he despises laziness. Y'all remember in Proverbs 6, I believe it is. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard. He says, and consider her ways. How the ant goes out and gather in the winter, in the summer, so that the ant can have enough food in the summer.
He says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and so shall your poverty come upon you like an armband, because God despises laziness. As a matter of fact, the Bible I read lets me know God doesn't even release his favor to people who ain't doing nothing. And so if you ain't seen the favor of the Lord moving in your life this year, it's not because it's not available. It may be because you haven't made it up in your mind to participate. And I don't know about some of you, you can keep being lazy if you want to, but I'll take my favor and yours, because what I'm believing God for, only God can open the door, only God can make a way. You're gonna have to get up off of your seat of do nothing and say, God, I'm willing to pray and work. Think about this. God allows every bird to find a worm, but he doesn't take the worm and drop it in the nest. Every bird got to get up every morning and sing to the glory of God, which is the bird's form of worship. But then the bird, after it sings to the glory of God, has to get out the nest and believe that today the God that I just sung to is going to allow me to find a worm so that I can be fulfilled. I wish y'all get the word. And some of you in here, you got to at least have some bird sense. You got to at least have enough sense to get your butt up out that bed, put your shoes on, get your hat in, and say, I'm going out here today because God promised me that he wouldn't leave me in the same state he in. Look at your neighbor and say, you better bust the move. You talking about what God is going to do? God want to know what you going to do. He want to know, this year, are you going to be able to give him an extra effort? See, our expectations every year of God, when we come to this service, our expectations of God continue to go up. God, I'm believing you this year to do greater. Our expectation of him get higher, but our personal effort stays the same. God is saying, how you want me to do greater in my expectation, but you stay the same in your effort? How you want me to promote you to the next level, but you still operating on the same level when we first got introduced? He says, you got to begin to do something greater with your level of effort. You have a part to play in living in victory. And this, my brothers and sisters, brings us to the 212 principle. Because the 212 principle is the principle, watch this, that takes your life from average to great. Watch this. Everybody say the 212 principle. Say it again, the 212 principle. It takes you, listen, Tyler, from average to great. Watch this. Because do you know, at 211 degrees, water is hot, but at 212 degrees, water is boiling. Y'all missed it. I'm going to give it to you again. At 211 degrees, it's hot. Oh, yeah, but you can't cook grits in hot water. But at 212 degrees, it's boiling. Oh, God. At 211, it's hot. But at 212, steam is coming up. And the steam that comes from boiling water can move a locomotive. And God is telling somebody, this year you got to embrace the 212 principle. You can't just stay hot. You got to start to boil for him. And all it takes is an extra degree. All it takes is an extra effort. All it takes is a little more pushing to take your life from 211 to 212. I don't know if y'all got that revelation, but touch your neighbor and say, I'm moving to 212, baby. I'm about to do a little bit more with my life so I can see greater. This is the year that you boil. I'm looking for who I'm preaching to in here today. I was hot in 2011. You was hot, Tasha, in 2011. But the Lord, I speak this prophetically. You about to boil now. You about to move some stuff in the kingdom of God. Oh, you was hot on the job this year. But God is about to allow you to see things that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard and haven't even entered in our heart. Who am I preaching to in here today? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to boil, baby. I'm about to boil. Oh, you touch the wrong person. Touch somebody else and say, I'm about to boil now. I got it in my life now. I feel it all down in my sanctified soul that I'm about to boil. This is the year that you boil. Let me help you out. So if they was mad in 11... they gonna go crazy in 12. I don't know who boy, y'all thought y'all was talking about Beacon Light in 2011, but what God is about to allow us to do, baby, you gonna be mad as all outdoor because we about to boil. Do I have a witness in here tonight? See, the extra effort allows you to move mountains. The extra effort allows you to go from average to supernatural. It's the extra effort that the average person don't give. And this year, I want to let y'all know, average folks gonna be real vexed in this church because we ain't tolerating the average this year. I ain't tolerating you living at the level you've been living at. God says it's time to turn it up a degree. No, your average, your whatever mentality ain't gonna be tolerated. As a matter of fact, when some of you really catch this revelation, whatever people gonna vex you, that you ain't gonna even wanna go to lunch with them, you ain't gonna even hang out in the break room when they there, because I can't be around nobody that's average. I need somebody that's trying to increase my fire, that's trying to push me in the right direction. Nudge your neighbor and say, where you at? Tell them 211, 212, because I may need to move my section, because if your worship ain't 212 this year, I don't even need to be on the pew with you because you icing the worship in the house of the Lord. Who am I talking to here tonight? Somebody shout, I'm ready to burn. This 211 principle, Courtney, it works in every area of your life. God is saying if you can just turn it up one degree, if you can turn it up one level, if you can say, God, this year I'm going to give you extra obedience. God says, when you do the extra, you're going to see supernatural. I know that everybody ain't getting this today because I already told you God ain't got time for lazy folks, because lazy folks can't do nothing for the kingdom of God. But if there's some of you in this room today, say, Pastor, I'm ready to work. I'm ready to burn. God is saying this is your year, that every time you give him extra, he's going to give you extra. We're going to be able to see at year's end who done gave God their extra, because the way you look right now, you ain't going to look like this a year from now. Look at your neighbor and say, baby, you better take a picture of me because I ain't going to be this broke next. Next year, I ain't gonna be this miserable. Next year, I ain't gonna be on this job. Next year, I ain't gonna be in these relationships. Next year, because I'm about to burn for the Lord. Hallelujah. Shake your hand right now and say, I'm introducing you to the brand new me. Amen. To tell them this year, I'm gonna burn for the Lord. Two twelve is the year that we burn. See, and one degree of effort in your business, one degree of effort with your children, make some time for them. Well, my baby mom be tripping, Pastor. She don't be woman. No. Make some time, extra effort. Don't just do what you've been doing, sending stuff at Christmas and on the birthday. This year, do something extra. And God says, when you do something extra, watch how I deal with their heart. Watch how I turn the situation around. Watch how I turn that situation when you do something extra. With your marriage, give it some extra. Tell the boys you can't play Xbox tonight with your grown self. Tonight I'm going to take my wife out to dinner. No, I can't sit around the house tonight. Tonight I got to make something right in my marriage because God's going to honor extra effort. One extra effort. We'll let you go, Russell, from hot to boiling. As a matter of fact, God says in the book of Revelation, I really wish that you was either boiling or cold. He says, because those of you who are in between, you make me nauseous. That's what he said. He says, I want to spew you out of my mouth. He says, I really wish that you'll make up whose side you on. That if you on God's side, you need to be on God's side. But if you're going to go back out in the world, baby, you need to get your stuff and get to stepping. Because this year God is saying, I need you to be boiling. Yeah. 212 is where you go from hot to boiling. It's where you go from natural to supernatural. Holy. And right here in Genesis 24, we see this principle. We see the principle of somebody who did something extra. And because she did something extra, God blessed her supernaturally. It's a wonderful, that's why I asked you to read it in your own time. It's a wonderful story of our spiritual history. Because it's the story of the patriarch Isaac and how the Bible, you remember, said that God made a promise to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to allow you and your wife Sarah to have a baby even in your old age. Come on, y'all remember Sarah started laughing at her? Because, you know, sometimes God will tell you stuff that will make you laugh. That God, you're going to do that for me. And when all of her equipment, or rather his equipment, wasn't working no more. It is when they didn't have the little blue pill anymore. Some of you older brothers know what I'm talking about. That now, Abraham's equipment didn't work no more. But God says, I'm going to step in supernaturally and I'm going to make this thing happen for you. Because sometimes God will wait till your stuff break so he can get all the glory. I don't know who that was for in here today. Sometimes God will wait till you don't have nothing else to give so he can give you everything you need to take it to another level. And the Bible says, y'all remember, they got a little impatient. Because sometimes between the promise and the performance, you go through warfare. I'm looking for the real saints right here. From when God promised that he was going to do it to when he performed it, you go through warfare. And the Bible says they got together and got ahead of God, modified his instructions, and they made a flesh production called Ishmael. And watch this now. God is saying, I'm not going to honor what you did ahead of me. Because y'all remember, he says, now Abraham and Sarah got together and says, listen, y'all need to hook up with the maid in the house. That's probably what God meant. That you was going to hook up with the maid and y'all was going to have a child. And then that child is going to become our child. And that's how God is going to do his thing. They was trying to help God out. But I want to let somebody know in here, the God we serve don't need your help. He needs your participation, but he don't need your help. Because he's God all by himself. He's able to look at stuff that's broke and declare that it's fixed in the name of Jesus. So he don't need you to help him. Because when you wait on God, you get a miracle. But when you get ahead of God, you get a mess. And some of you have been seduced out of the will of God for your life this year, and you've been dealing with a complete mess because that mess is what you produce. But God says, if you could have just waited on me, I would have did it, and you would have been giving me all the glory. But this year, God is saying, you got to stay in your place. Baby, let them laugh at you. Let them say you stupid for going down there to that church, but I shall be like a tree that's planted by the river of water. I ain't going to move out of my place because I got a promise from the Lord that if I would just do what God has called me to do, he's going to allow me to prosper. So let him talk about you, but stay in your place. Let him laugh at you, but stay in your place. Wait on God. Well, I don't know who that was for right there. There's somebody, you so anxious. Touch your neighbor right now and say, wait on God. Tell him he's never late. Amen. Tell him he's always on time. Come on, that neighbor don't want to hear that because they're so impatient. They want it to happen now. They know, but God, watch this. God was really trying to tutor them in faith. Don't you know that the Bible says your faith worketh patience? That when God is making you wait, he's allowing something to be developed on the inside of you. He's allowing some roots to be established in you. So when he draw back the curtain and show everybody what he has made, that the devil won't be able to come and seduce you out of the place of God because you have been through too much to get what you have, to let some cheap talking devil pull you out of the will of God. God is saying, if you would just be patient, I'm going to make sure you get it, and you're going to get it right on time. They got to hear the God, they made a mess, but God in his long suffering, God, like only he could, he says, all right, Abraham, you made a mess, but I'm going to bless you in spite of your mess. Oh, Lord. Y'all help me because I got to deviate from my notes because some of us in this room, oh, Lord, know what it's like for God to bless us. And we ain't been the most obedient. I know y'all Pharisees gonna have a problem with that because you done did everything right. You done dotted every I and crossed every T. But there's a couple of hundred of us in here today that's gonna keep it real and say, Pastor, what I have, I really don't deserve it. This degree I had, I should have dropped out with the rest of them fools I was hanging with. But God blessed me in the midst of my mess. And so Isaac is born. The Bible says Abraham was 100 years old. And Isaac came forth just as God promised. Because even though it's delayed, it is never denied. Even if God got to add some more time to your clock, he's going to make sure you get exactly what he said you was going to get. Read it in your Bible. It's a wonderful story of our history. And as Isaac has come along, y'all remember this, that in chapter number 21, I believe it is, that the Bible says God told him, he says, now I need you to sacrifice what I gave you. He says, go up on the mountain and worship. I like that word, worship. Everybody say worship. Yeah. Say it again, worship. Amen. But because, see, we get so convenient in our worship in our modern day church because we just want to lift our hands and we want to make sure it only lasts about 12 and a half minutes and then we can be seated because my knees are going to hurt. But oh, when God had the concept of worship in his mind, he had a concept of sacrifice. He had a concept that when you get in a worship, you was going to give up something. When you get in a worship, you was going to lose something so you can gain the presence of the Lord. And many of us haven't really experienced a real worship because we don't want to lose nothing in the midst of worshiping God. We want to keep our reputation. We want to keep who we are. But God says when you come into worship, you got to lay all that stuff aside because only a few folks are going to be able to go into the Holy of Holies, and that's those who are willing to lose it in worship. So he says, if you want to worship me, kill your only son. Kill your only son, Abraham. The Bible says that they got together. Watch this. This is just for the elders and leaders in our house. And he strapped the wood on Isaac. And he says, now, son, we going to the top of the mountain. And Isaac had to carry the wood. He said, the rest of y'all got to stay down here. He says, but my son is going to carry the wood. Because if you are a real son, You don't mind carrying the wood. But see, today we got so many people that won't call themselves sons and daughters, but they don't want to carry the wood. I know. They just looking for an opportunity, looking for a platform where they can preach or where they can be seen, but they don't want to carry the wood for the sacrifice. And what God had to do with Isaac was he had to strap the wood on him. The Bible says they made their way up that mountain, and Abraham, because he was so obedient to God, he raised the dagger, ready to sacrifice what it took him so long to get. And the Bible says before he can plunge the dagger into his son's chest, the angel stayed his hand. He says, Abraham, I just wanted to test your obedience. Spirit of God about to fall in this place. Y'all watch this. He says, but now I have a ram. Look, it's caught up in the thicket. It's caught up in the bush. He says, don't slaughter the son, but get the ram that's in the bush. And that's just like our God, because every time you get in a tight situation, God says, I always have a ram in the bush. I always, when you give me obedience, I'm going to always show you I'm working on your behalf. Nudge your neighbor and say, I know that's right. Because some of y'all done been in a tight jam. But God says, baby, don't worry. I got a ram in the bush. So God said he saw that Abraham was going to be obedient. Watch this. And then look at it in chapter number 23. I'm trying to make my way to the text, but you got to understand the backdrop of this. That now Sarah is 127 years old. Sarah dies. That Isaac experienced this tragedy. He's an older man now. And he experienced crises. Because for many years, the only woman he had in his life was his mama. And after 127 years, his mother died. That was a shaking moment for Isaac. That was a crisis of grand proportions, because, brothers and sisters, I want to let you know to everyone in here today, crisis will happen in your life. I don't know how many of y'all have experienced a crisis in 2011, but I want to let you know you're not by yourself, because sometimes life will throw you some events you ain't ready to handle yet. So sometimes life will give you some unexpected surprises. But I got a word for you today. You can't catastrophize your crises. But what you have to begin to do is understand that God is working even in the midst of the crises. Because when you're in a crisis, what happens is you don't need to be telling your sad story. Y'all know folks like that every time they're going through, they want to call somebody and tell them what they done did to me. And no, God says, don't you look for pity in the midst of crises. You need to look for some principles, because pity is going to keep you in your crises, but the right principle is going to move you out of that thing. Because some of people in this room right now, you done been through a crisis, but because you had the right principles, God allowed you to see a comeback. I know he did. I seen it in your life, that you thought you was going under, but you held on to some principles that if I would just lift up my head to where my help comes from, because all of my help comes from the Lord, and God will pull you out of that crisis and show you I got a comeback in store for you. Somebody ought to thank God, because he moves in the midst of crises. That when God sends a crisis in your life, the crisis is not to kill you, but the crisis is to take you to another level. And some of you right now, if you would not had a crisis, you wouldn't have the prayer life you have right now. If you wouldn't have had the crisis, your business wouldn't have been born. If you wouldn't have had the crisis, you wouldn't be where you are right now. So you ought to thank God for the crisis, because it promoted me. It didn't burn me. Hallelujah. Somebody tell him, thank him for the crisis. Yeah. See, the devil, what he wants to do in the midst of your crisis is he want to get in your mind. He want to terrorize you because of what you've been through. He wants, see, terrorism is not the blowing up of buildings. It's the controlling of minds. It ain't so much about your material possessions. It's about the devil gaining hold of your mind. It's about him gripping you with fear to make you think you ain't gonna ever get out of this, to make you think you ain't gonna ever succeed no more. Terrorism ain't about taking away buildings and blowing up cars. It's about putting fear in you so you can't trust God again. Oh, but I come against every spiritual terrorist that's in this house tonight. I declare the that you're going to live and you shall not die. I declare the darker your past is, the brighter your future is. I declare tonight that terrorism shall not live, but God is going to get you out of that crisis. He wants you to think that you have nothing else to live for because of your loss. But Isaac, he lost his mother in 23. But God had a wife for him in 24. I told you, God moves in the midst of crisis. That's for your neighbor right there. Touch him and tell him God moves in the midst of your crisis. Tell somebody else and say, God moves in the midst of your crisis. Yeah, because see, his mama made him comfortable, but his wife gonna help him multiply. Some of y'all gonna get that revelation. And God says, I'm gonna remove folks that's gonna make you comfortable in this season, and I'm gonna give you somebody that's gonna help you produce. Because right now, you don't need nobody to make you comfortable, because comfortable people don't change. But when I put somebody in your life that's gonna help you produce, they gonna tell you the real truth. They gonna say, baby, your hair look a hot mess. You need to do something with that if you're trying to go to the next level. They gonna tell you, you shouldn't be dressing like that, because professional people don't dress like that. God says, I'm taking out cheerleaders and I'm giving you somebody that's going to take your life to another level.
We are encouraged that you were blessed by this word as ministered by Pastor Dennis Hebert, senior pastor and teacher of the Beacon Light Baptist Church of Hammond, Louisiana. Here at DRH Ministries, we want to thank you for tuning in, and we want to invite you to share with us whenever you're in the area. We're conveniently located at 500 East Hanson Avenue, Hammond, Louisiana, 70403. Our Sunday worship services are offered at 7:30 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Feel free to also join us for our weekly pastoral Bible study each Wednesday at 12 o'clock noon and 7 o'clock p.m. For more information, visit our website at www.beaconlightofhammond.org. DRH Ministries, empowering you to live in victory.